Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Brian Lynn, Pete Musto, Katie Weaver, and Marcia James. First, this week, the United States lost a beloved actor and funny man. Gene Wilder, the wild-haired star of unforgettable comedy films, died Monday at the age of 83. A family member said Wilder was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease 3 years ago. He said the actor kept the condition private so he would not disappoint fans. He simply couldn't bear the idea of one less smile in the world, his nephew Jordan Walker Perlman said. Gene Wilder started his acting career on the stage. However, millions of people knew him from his work in film. His movies with director Mel Brooks were especially famous. They included The Producers, Blazing Saddles, and Young Frankenstein. In a statement Monday, Brooks wrote, "Gene Wilder, one of the truly great talents of our time, is gone. He blessed every film we did together with his special magic, and he blessed my life with his friendship. He will be so missed." Wilder was a master at playing nervous characters trapped in impossible but funny situations. In 1974's Young Frankenstein, Wilder's character sought to build a living person from the dead. Wilder played Leo Bloom in the 1968 film The Producers, about a man who tries to produce a costly failure on Broadway. The play Springtime for Hitler becomes a surprising hit instead. Wilder could play cool-headed characters like the gunslinger in Blazing Saddles. He also made millions of child fans with his portrayal as the main character in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Wilder was close friends with Richard Pryor. Their opposite personas, Wilder the worrier and the easygoing Pryor, were perfect for making comedy. They starred in 4 films together: Silver Streak, Stir Crazy, See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and Another You. However, Wilder said in a 2013 interview that he was no comedian. He told interviewer Robert Osborne it was the biggest misunderstanding of him. He started taking acting classes at age 12. In 1961, he made his Broadway debut. That is when he took on the professional name of Gene Wilder. Wilder was married 3 times. His second marriage to Saturday Night Live performer Gilda Radner ended when she died of ovarian cancer in 1989. Wilder spent much of his time after her death speaking in support of cancer research. He also opened a support center for cancer patients. In 1991, he spoke before Congress about the need for increased testing for cancer. Wilder is survived by his wife Karen and his daughter Catherine from an earlier marriage. Thank you.
lightning is being blamed for the deaths of 323 wild reindeer in central Norway. The lightning storm took place in a small area of the Hardangervidda mountain plateau last Friday. Every year, thousands of reindeer travel across the Hardangervidda mountain area. The Norwegian Environment Agency is a government agency that reports on climate and environmental issues in Norway. The agency said 70 calves were among the dead reindeer. Kjartan Knudsen is the spokesman for the Norwegian Environment Agency. Knudsen told the Associated Press that it was unusual to have such a large number of reindeer deaths in one lightning storm. "We have not heard about such numbers before," he said. Knudsen said reindeer like to group together in bad weather. This may be a possible reason for their deaths. He said, "I don't know if there were several lightning strikes, but it happened in one moment." The agency is discussing what to do with the reindeer. Usually, the agency leaves the body of a dead animal wherever it is found, Knudsen said. That way, they can decompose in the natural way. I'm Patrick Melanchi.
Communities in southern Kenya are slowly changing practices connected to the traditional ideas of passage from girl to woman. Alternative rites of passage, or ARPs, are growing in popularity in place of female genital mutilation, or FGM. FGM, also known as circumcision, is the cutting and removal of parts of sex organs. In Kenya, FGM is illegal, but some communities continue to practice it. VOA recently went to an alternative rites ceremony. It took place in the town of Oloitoktok in Kajiado County. About 400 Maasai girls took part to mark their passage into womanhood. The ceremony used to involve FGM. But here, the girls are receiving a special blessing from older members of their community. Sabina Lakara is one of the girls.
"I'm happy because I have undergone ARP. And I even undergone FGM because it causes a lot of diseases, and a girl bleed, and a girl may die, and also I have wonderful because we have told our parents the bad effect of FGM, and now they have lived it."
Lasarian Katau worked as a female circumciser for more than 20 years. She says she circumcised about 200 girls. But she is now a strong supporter of ARP. She teaches the girls 2 days of classes about life as a woman. She said some of the elders have not embraced alternative rites of passage, and you know they are the decision makers. So that's a major challenge. But in our village, we have embraced it because of information and education. ARPs began in Kenya 7 years ago. But FGM is still done to an estimated 100,000 girls in Kenya each year. Nice Nylante is a fellow in U.S. President Barack Obama's Young African Leaders Initiative. She is also an ARP International Ambassador for the Nairobi-based nonprofit AMREF Health Africa. She avoided an FGM operation when she was 8 years old.
We should invest in education because all these harmful traditional practices, female genital mutilation, early marriages, teenage pregnancies, if we are not educating our girls, if we are not investing in education, they will never end. But once we realize that there is an importance of educating our girls, the same as educating our boys, that is when as a community we will be able to move forward.
The girls are given documents at the end of the ceremony. The papers serve as notice of their transition from girls to young women. I'm Katie Weaver.
Explorers have found a ship that is over 200 years old at the bottom of Lake Ontario. This is the second oldest confirmed shipwreck in the Great Lakes area between the U.S. and Canada, the explorers said. The team of three underwater explorers that found the ship is from the western part of the U.S. state of New York. The wreck was in the deep waters of Lake Ontario near the town of Oswego in central New York. Team member Jim Kennard said that pictures taken using an unmanned vehicle identified the ship as the Washington. The Washington sank in 1803. The Washington was built on Lake Erie in the U.S. state of Pennsylvania in 1798. The ship was used to transport people and goods between New York, Pennsylvania, and the Canadian province of Ontario. Canadian merchants then bought the ship, took it out of the water, and transported it by land to Lake Ontario in 1802. The 16-meter-long ship was loaded with goods from India when it left Kingston, Ontario on November 6, 1803. It was sailing to Niagara, Ontario when it was caught in a fierce storm and sank. At least three crew members and two merchants died when the ship sank. Kennard said that records showed some of the goods and pieces of the ship were found the next day on a shore near Oswego. The Washington is the oldest commercial shipwreck found in the Great Lakes, he added. It was also the only ship known to have sailed on both Lake Erie and Lake Ontario. This one is very special, Kennard said. We don't get too many like this. Kennard and team members Roger Pawlowski and Roland Chip Stevens have found several shipwrecks in Lake Ontario and other waterways. Carrie Soden is an official at the National Museum of the Great Lakes in Toledo, Ohio. The museum helps pay for Kennard and his team to explore the area. Soden said ships with only one mast, called sloops, were replaced by ships with two or three masts, called schooners, in the early 1800s. Schooners were much easier to sail. There are no known drawings of the Washington, she added. This means the discovery will help historians of the seas learn more about the ships that sailed on the Great Lakes between the American Revolution and the War of 1812. Every shipwreck offers something different that adds to our knowledge base, Soden said. The oldest ship found in the Great Lakes is a British warship called the HMS Ontario. The HMS Ontario sank in Lake Ontario in 1780. Kennard and another explorer found it in 2008. I'm Pete Musto.
Researchers say they have created a new synthetic rubber that could be used to make biodegradable tires. A team at Texas A&M University's campus in the Gulf nation of Qatar is testing the synthetic rubber. One of the researchers, Robert Tuba, said the goal is to find a way to make fully recyclable tires. Rubber tires thrown into landfills decompose very slowly. They are a fire risk and can release chemicals into the soil. If they collect water, they can also become a breeding ground for mosquitoes. The research team discovered a byproduct of the oil refining process called cyclopentene. This was combined with a polymer to make a substance very similar to natural rubber. The new synthetic rubber is being tested to see if it can be mixed with metal and other materials now used in making tires. The goal is to produce a new kind of synthetic that is just as strong as the rubber now used, but is biodegradable. The team said they found other benefits of the synthetic rubber. For one thing, they were able to recover 100% of the original materials when the rubber decomposed. The researchers say they already have a partner in the rubber industry. If future tests go well, Robert Tuba said his team would be ready to bring the material to market. This would eventually make biodegradable rubber tires widely available. I'm Brian Lynn.
Many young Americans have a large amount of debt even before they begin working. Millennials, people between 18 and 35, are worried about paying their student loans, so many of them are not using credit cards. Some experts believe this trend may have a long-term effect on the economy. Stephanie O'Connell graduated from New York University with a degree in drama and a large amount of debt. There were not many jobs for someone with her education, so she became cautious about how she spent her money. That behavior caused her to begin a new career as a financial expert. She writes a blog about wealth management. It has helped her to learn that many millennials share her situation.
They're very wary of spending beyond their means. They're wary of tools like credit cards. They're wary of taking any kind of risk, even if it really is something that's a smart risk like investing.
O'Connell's experience with her blog readers is supported by information gathered by the U.S. Central Bank. It found that the percentage of Americans under 35 who hold credit card debt has fallen to its lowest level since 1989. Credit cards are an important part of the American financial system. Without one, it is difficult to buy many goods and services. These can include buying a cell phone or renting an apartment. Credit expert Adam Levin says young people need these financial instruments.
It's critically important for a young person to build credit, to build strong credit. That doesn't mean you overcredit yourself. It just means that you are wise about your credit. You are a responsible payer, that you don't get yourself in over your head.
Smartphone apps like Level Money can help young people build credit. The apps give advice and help people make better spending decisions without going deeper into debt.
The Swedish-based manufacturer Volvo says one of its trucks has broken two world speed records. The truck reached a top speed of 276 kilometers an hour during recent tests. The Chinese-owned carmaker carried out the tests on an airplane runway in Sweden. The truck, called Iron Knight, broke speed records for distances of 500 and 1,000 meters, according to Volvo. The driver was former European truck racing champion Boije Overbrink. The company said the truck covered 500 meters in 13.7 seconds. It traveled 1 kilometer in 21.29 seconds. The records are still unofficial while they are reviewed by the International Motorsport Association, FIA. The old record for 1 kilometer was set in 2012 by Volvo's Mean Green truck. After starting, the 4,500-kilogram Iron Knight can reach 100 kilometers per hour in just 4.6 seconds. The vehicle's diesel engine is based on Volvo's normal design for tractor-trailer trucks. But it was modified to increase the usual power and performance. The truck was also designed to reduce wind resistance, to increase speed, and reduce fuel use. Nigel Atterbury is a senior designer for Volvo Trucks.
The Iron Knight is basically a truck where we said to our designers, think out of the box, and that's exactly what they did.
Volvo said the main goal in building the speedy truck was to show off the company's two-part clutch system. The truck's transmission was made to give the driver smoother control when changing gears. This helps the truck perform better under extreme conditions, such as carrying a heavy load up a steep hill. I'm Brian Lynn.
The nation's top expert on infectious diseases is Dr. Anthony S. Fauci. Fauci has carried out important research in HIV/AIDS and other diseases affecting the immune system. He also is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, at the United States National Institutes of Health. At age 75, Fauci has served under 5 presidents during his tenure. His advice is sought all over the world when infectious diseases threaten to become public health crises. He says, when considering the history of public and global health, vaccines could be the most important intervention that has ever been developed for any public health issue. That was the case with the serious disease caused by the West Nile virus.
Now, West Nile virus was never in the United States till 1999. It was in the West Nile area of Africa and in the Middle East, and it came over to the United States, likely through a mosquito or a bird or a person who was infected. And we had a few cases for the first couple of years, and then we had an outbreak a couple of years after it arrived, and now it's endemic at a low level in the United States. It isn't a major public health threat, but it is enough of an issue that we get enough cases each year, and that's the reason why we have to have good mosquito control. We tried to make a vaccine and would have made a vaccine for West Nile years ago, but we couldn't find a pharmaceutical company that was interested in partnering with us.
Today, another virus spread by mosquitoes, the Zika virus, is an issue of concern to the world. Zika outbreaks are currently happening in many countries and territories. The mosquitoes that can spread Zika live in many parts of the world, including parts of the United States. Fauci says pregnant women should be especially careful.
What people need to understand about Zika is important to protect pregnant women. It is likely that Zika was in Africa and in Southeast Asia for decades and decades before we had the first recognized outbreak. In the United States, we have close to 700 already travel-related cases. We've had local outbreaks of dengue and chikungunya in Florida and in Texas, and we've been able to successfully contain it. I believe we need to do the same thing, and will do the same thing, with Zika.
The development of a vaccine for Zika is already underway at NIAID. Dr. Fauci says a DNA vaccine for Zika could be ready for testing by September. Fauci will tell you he is a proud workaholic. That means he enjoys working a lot. He works 7 days a week. He says there are many difficult problems in his work. However, just as important as his job is his health. He is a devoted runner. Fauci has run several marathons and many 10-kilometer races. He also makes sure that every day he does something related to exercise. Fauci hopes that one day it will become possible to eliminate controllable infectious diseases.
I want to see the elimination of polio. I want to see HIV no longer be an epidemic and pandemic as we know it. I want to see an era of the end of AIDS. I don't think we'll ever be able to completely eliminate infectious disease. That's unreasonable, but we can do a lot more to alleviate the suffering associated with infectious diseases.
I'm Marcia James.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.